Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have 10 times the cash, but I'm getting these Pac-Man ones for next week. We're going to be at Fadley's each and every Friday that there is a baseball game. We'll be live from 2 until 5. Cross your fingers. I don't have to use the bathroom. It's not too far away. The new Lexington Market. It's going to be beautiful. Luke's coming down from 2 until 3 on Fridays, and we begin our Crab Cake Tour on Tuesday at Costas. The bridge has fallen. We have lost Peter Angelos. Ownership is transferred. The Orioles are really good. The weather really stinks. And then we lost Larry Lucchino earlier this week. And I started reaching to people 2-3 weeks ago in anticipation of opening day. I may have even reached to Charles Steinberg 2-3 weeks ago. Rick Vaughn hasn't been on in a minute, but Janet Marie, I found her before opening day, and it was before Larry died, but after Peter died, but before Rubenstein bought the team. It depends on what day, but we're in a very, very surreal state in so many ways that I go to Costas and I can't even look to the south because it breaks my heart to look to the sky and not see a bridge. And we're losing legends and people and the people that put this together. And there's such a time of hope here in Baltimore for baseball, for the city, for everything. I welcome Charles Steinberg back. He is a defending champion of all things Baltimore, even though he is in Worcester, Mass. As long as I don't know if the accent's wearing off on you, you better bring me some, at least Northwest Baltimore, a little something, something here. But first things first, a hug to you virtually and otherwise, your love for Larry Lucchino and his love for you. You know, it's a special relationship you two had and many people have with Larry, but specifically you. And I didn't even give you a tailing off period. So a hug to you. I know it's been a weird, weird time.
Well, thank you, Nestor. And it's great to talk to you. And I give a hug right back to Baltimore. I woke up the other day at 6 a.m. and the lead story on the national news was how Baltimore awoke to the Key Bridge, and I loved the Key Bridge. We all did. It was not only functional; it was symbolic of this great era. You know, what the bridge opened in 77, Harbor Place in 80, and Camden Yards in 92. So, excuse me. My heart broke when I heard the news about the Key Bridge, and I was full of sentiment when we learned that Peter Angelos had passed away, and I was full of optimism for the Orioles with David Rubenstein. I don't know him personally, but you know, sure know his background. And you know, you talk about those of us who grew up in Northwest Baltimore. You know, you feel a kinship even if you haven't met someone. So it's been an emotional time, and through it all, the Orioles are doing what I always loved for the Orioles to do, which is lift people's spirits. And what a great Orioles team. And I couldn't be happier that Baltimore has the Orioles to turn to and has Camden Yards to come to navigate these emotional waters.
I mean, we lost Brooks a couple of months ago, right? Like, I reached to people like you in regard to that and where we are. And to see Cal on the field, right? I mean, you had a really special relationship with Cal and Eddie.
Sure.
Is anybody that knows anything about – and by the way, free plug for my dude, John Eisenberg, who has resurrected these Oriole tapes from the turn of the century. He came on the show this week. And you're one of the true historians who carries the torch from, you know, from – Brown and Helen through Rick Vaughn and, you know, all the way through. And you're in Worcester running a minor league baseball operation as part of the Red Sox. You famously were involved with Larry in Boston, San Diego before that, and here in Baltimore. Yeah. Larry, let's start with Larry. And listen, we lost two sort of giants in what baseball has represented here for most of my adult lifetime, right? After losing Edward Bennett Williams. So, but the notion that Peter saved the franchise for Baltimore started to make the media on Saturday night when he died. And by Tuesday, the bridge collapsed. By Wednesday night, Rubenstein owns the team. By Thursday, there's a press conference and opening day. And then we lose Larry. Like, all of this happened, and Larry's voice came to me. I had Tom Levero on last week. Yeah, I had Janet Marie on. Yeah. And Larry, And then we lose Larry 48 hours ago. And I'm thinking, I wanted to reach to Larry and I wanted to talk to Larry and I wanted to give Larry a hug and I wanted to say, Larry, they're resetting the Orioles. Tell me how you would reset the Orioles. You know, give me your Willy Wonka. And Larry's not here. And I think, all due respect to Larry, maybe you're the next best guy to ask about that because
Well,
somewhere baked in there's just something. Larry's listening, I think.
let's start with a couple of facts. Larry had the vision for Oriole Park at Camden Yards. He articulated it to me with clarity during the 1986 World Series between Boston and the Mets. We were in a room at Memorial Stadium that we called the Undercroft. It was under the first base stands on the first base side, and we had cleaned it out and made it a
A
little amenable.
luxury facility, no doubt.
Right. But for our designated hitters and our DHs, were just doing great. They were businessmen and women voluntarily selling season tickets on the Orioles' behalf. And we had a reception for them during that 1986 World Series. And that's when Larry, knowing that I'm from Baltimore and he's not, said to me, I said, "You really think we're going to build a new stadium?" He said, "No, we're going to build two new stadiums." I said, "What are you, nuts?" He said, "One
So
for
hold on, the
baseball."
Colts are gone 2 years, right? Edward
He said,
Bennett Williams is rumored to be trying to pirate the Orioles to DC if we can't fix the stadium problem, right? And right?
Yes. And Larry says, "One for baseball, one for football." I said, "Larry, I know you're Ivy League educated and you're a Washington lawyer," which of course was not, a great thing to be if you're from Baltimore. "But how do you think you're going to get two done?" He said, "There's a difference between a stadium and a ballpark. A ballpark is asymmetrical. It's idiosyncratic. It's intimate. Stadiums are big and multi-purpose." And he then proceeded to fine us $5 if we called it a stadium. So he passionately articulated and envisioned an old-fashioned downtown ballpark with modern amenities. Now, we all know how beautiful Camden Yards is and what a national revolution that it started. There's more than 100 ballparks now because of Camden Yards. You have 30 major
You're
league teams.
sitting in one, right?
Yeah, I
Literally
am
Worcester,
sitting
right?
in the
Yeah.
baby of the family. I'm in the fifth ballpark project that Larry and Janet Marie were involved in together. Larry's fifth ballpark, Polar Park in Worcester. But excuse me. But throughout Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball, downtowns have been transformed because of Camden Yards. But there's more to the story, because in 1992, when the ballpark opened, Larry had offered, committed, and given what turned out to be a 30-year commitment. It was 15, and then there were more things that the Governor Shaver said, "Larry, can we double it?" And Larry said, "Yes, but can we get this, 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 and this done?" And so it was a 30-year commitment. So Larry, working for Edward Bennett Williams, made the commitment, and it's a commitment all of us remember on May 2nd, 1988, don't we? You know where you were on
I
May
was,
2nd,
yeah, I
1988.
sat in about section 9 up underneath the lower reserve, probably
That's
a
right.
little obstructed, but not by much, because we got in early on that one. We were gonna
Fantastic
greet the
fans.
team when they came home, even if they were 0-32 by the time they got home, I
Do
think.
you know that, and everybody who listens to you, I know, remembers Fantastic Fans Night, May 2nd, 1988, greeting the 1-23 Orioles who had gone 0-21. And there's Governor Schaefer on the field holding that agreement. And that was the lease that would keep the Orioles in, as he put it, downtown Baltimore. And that was historic. So that is what saved the Orioles for Baltimore, for Maryland. There's no disputing that, and no rhetoric to the contrary can dissuade anybody who understands the history of the Orioles in Baltimore. So you had the Orioles for 30 years starting in 1992. So let's just make sure we understand that. But Larry didn't really get to be part of Baltimore in the kind of Govins or Fells Point or Towson way, or for me, Mount Washington, that we all grew up with. And so I have a better way to describe Larry, because I worked for someone else at the Orioles before I worked for Larry, and that was Earl Weaver. I was Earl Weaver's statistician. To this day, I still, as I will show you, carry a medium point blue Bic pen because that's how I did Earl's stats.
You know, I carry the four color, you know, I have the four color Bic with the green, the red, you know what I mean?
I
do that for, I'm reaching in my bag, literally trying to find that right now.
There was a way we did Earl's stats. Now, Larry Lucchino was Earl Weaver in a suit and with a better vocabulary. Larry Lucchino was Earl Weaver in a suit and with a better vocabulary. Fiery, aggressive, determined to win, would do anything and anything to win, and both were ferociously loyal. And that's a key part to understanding both of them. Earl was, you wouldn't use the word happy, but happy to get thrown out of a game, as long as his players didn't get thrown out of the game. He had to go out there and take the heat and be the center and make sure Eddie Murray didn't get thrown out of that game. And the famous YouTube scene that is required viewing if you're of a sufficient age.
No. It's required viewing whenever you're in a bad mood because it lifts spirits. There's no way to watch that and not laugh.
But
no
watch
way.
The beginning. The beginning, when a balk had been called on our beloved Mike Flanagan, listen to what Eddie is saying to the umpire. That's the top of the first inning. You cannot let...
I was at the game that night. I mean, I attended that game. I remember that game well.
But Earl had to go out there and be the heat receptacle. That was Larry Lucchino. Larry had to go out there and make sure his owners were shielded, make sure his employees were shielded. Earl protected me when I messed up the stats. Certainly one day, a famous story in the 79 playoff, and Earl was just stunningly, aggressively loyal to me. And Larry was the same way. Larry Lucchino was Earl Weaver in a suit, but with a better vocabulary.
Joe Steinberg is here. He's always sort of spiritually here in Baltimore. He's in a Worcester with the Woo Sox. And I'm going to give you a little oxygen on all that. But I got to ask you a really important question. It's a shoot interview. I mean, I got to ask you an important question because Larry died and Peter died. And like my page is full of this and that and people coming on and, you know, whatever. And nothing awful in any way, but just attaching things to legacies in whatever way they would. Someone said Edward Bennett Williams really wanted to move the team to D.C. Is that accurate or is that not accurate? Portray the truth for me on that.
Yeah, my understanding from all of my talks with Larry, yes, that was the original intention. But look at when it was. He was eyeing the Orioles in the mid-70s, eyeing the Orioles, but the sale was consummated August 2nd, 79. Well, all of us know exactly what we were doing practically every day of that summer. And we know the DeCinci home run. What was that? June 22nd. We know the doubleheader the next day. We know Eddie hitting the three-run homer in the 10th inning. We know Terry Crowley getting the pinch two-run single. We know Orioles magic. And now, yeah, I think they thought they would move the team to Washington, but wait a minute. What the heck is happening? The Orioles attendance in 1979 was about 1.7. That was about 700,000 more than it had ever been before. So,
I mean, would you go so far as to say like FBR and Oriole Magic and the team itself on the field sort of willed the team to stay and
But
It sort of won Edward Bennett Williams over to some degree.
absolutely. And when he passed away on August 13th of 1988, 3 days later, I was just talking to John Miller about this yesterday. 3 days later, Tuesday, August 16th, it's going to be our first home game. And I'm working on what John Miller's going to say about Edward Bennett Williams. And I'm from Baltimore. I thought that Williams witnessed this affection in 1979. I might even still think that. Larry punches me in the arm and goes, "He didn't just witness it. He nurtured it. He was involved in it." Well, all right, maybe you think so. But
You do a pretty good, that's a pretty good Larry you do. You
yeah,
know it well.
45 years you get to know
You,
somebody. Let
that's a
me
good
tell you,
Larry.
45 years. So absolutely, the fans, all of us, we all know who we all are. We all know Section 34. We all know Orioles magic. We all know 1980 winning 100 games and finishing second. We all know the final day of the 1982 season. We know all of that. I mean, 83 was kind of the cherry on top, but 79 through, well, really 77 with the eight rookies through 82, what a time that was. And so,
That's why we're all still here.
well, you're right. But what I was thrilled about, here I am in Massachusetts, Boston Red Sox, Worcester Red Sox, Fenway Park, Polar Park, but I'm watching the Orioles from afar. And the Orioles fans came back and were there and were there for the Orioles last year. I came down. I saw the team. I went to spring training this year. Saw them in Sarasota. To see that the Oriole fans were rewarded for decades of loyalty, that absolutely thrilled me. And it's more orange than it had ever been, even in our glory days. So that color was not nearly as prominent. So Larry kept the Orioles in Baltimore. The 30-year agreement was immutable.
What convinced Edward Bennett Williams to keep the team as opposed to trying to soak in some money in Northern Virginia? Because he kind of probably could have gotten away with it, right? I mean, yeah, you know, in
On
the 80s, he could have been that guy. And I mean, look at what the A's are going through now. Like, you know, it could have been done at that time, right?
just as 1979 was a statement by Orioles fans all year long that sustained in the years ahead. On Monday, May 2nd, 1988, when 53,000 people were planning to fill Memorial Stadium to welcome home the 1-23 Orioles, who had gone 0-21, Larry and Edward Bennett Williams are in Washington with Eugene Feinblatt and Herb Belgrad. I'm not sure if Herb Belgrad was there. I think he was. And the news is, are you kidding me? 53,000 people to greet a team that just went 0-21. And Larry has told me over and over, Edward Bennett Williams said, "Go ahead, make the deal, get it done." And on the train from Washington to Baltimore for Fantastic Fans Night, they signed and agreed. The fans did it again. It was the fans, it was all of us who felt what Orioles magic was in 79. And it was all of us who were there for the Orioles on Monday, May 2nd, 1988. And by the way, here's a postscript. Here I am in Worcester, Massachusetts. And I got reunited with Bob Rivers, the
Look at
DJ
that.
from 98 Rock. He had gone to
Really?
Seattle
How's Bob?
in New England, in Vermont. I think he's battling
St
some
still writing
health.
jingles?
Yes.
Yes,
And
he
I
is.
said, "Oh my God, you're instrumental in saving the Orioles." We all know that story. If you don't, ask your parents. But
Google it, yeah.
yes, we're reunited. And I had him meet Larry and, yeah, here we are in Worcester, Massachusetts, and we're reunited with Bob Rivers and talking about him not sleeping till the Orioles won.
All right, listen, I've only got you a couple more minutes. I want to bring you back because our time's a little short today. Charles Steinberg is here. The real reason to have called you before Larry passed away, and I did, was okay, Hey, Charles, I'm David Rubenstein. You want to come run my baseball team? Well, I'm doing some things up here. So if you were to come into this and fly into this, heart of hearts, whether that would be the reality of real Charles Steinberg being a real team coming here, or whether they called you and said, just get, what do you think we should do? Because that's the question I'm asking everyone, because I've mentioned Deepak Chopra several times and said, it's full of pure potentiality in so many ways to fix things. And when I've talked to one of Mr. Rubenstein's guys on opening day, and I said, I've waited 20 years for you to come here. I'm your friend. I'm not your enemy. And like, I don't know where you begin with me or people like me who were really sideways, as opposed to every business and people that are lacrosse and people that went away. How do you begin to fix things?
I'll tell you, I had looked at it while watching what was going on in Baltimore in recent years through three lenses. And if you go back a few years, you'll see why I start this way. I thought the first thing you need to do is fix the team. Now, that's been done brilliantly, just truly. Mike Elias, Eve Rosenbaum, what a job they've done. Second lens is to improve the energy, spirit, warmth, and hospitality in the ballpark. The ushers are the best, but you could tell that they knew whether or not they were being supported or not. And that has to come from the top. The entire embrace, the energy, the enthusiasm, the sense of welcome, the happiness that we all new at Memorial Stadium, and we have felt at Camden Yards. You've got to make sure that the experience, the human experience, as well as entertainment, is just so welcoming. And that's with the folks that are there at the Orioles,
Even
no
the
worries.
media, tell them, Charles, even the media.
The media was so much a part of our happiness that on Thanks Brooks Day, September 18th, 1977, when we had the reception that night at Cross Keys, it was everybody from the Orioles, and of course it was the media, because we're all united in our love of baseball. But the third lens is the big opportunity that I imagine David Rubenstein embracing, and that is for the Orioles to use their power to help improve Baltimore, to recognize that Baltimore is at an inflection point, not just with the sadness of the Key Bridge, but the role that the team plays in the city, in the state, and in the region. What an opportunity for a beloved baseball team playing in an internationally acclaimed venue to use its power, to use its might, to take its community connection to new heights. That's where I think the Orioles can regain their beloved status all over and take it to levels that they never really had even gotten to before. Those are the three lenses through which I see it. And I have no doubt that David Rubenstein has the heart and the commitment to make that happen. And it's a vivid, vivid picture, I think, in my mind and in the minds of all of us who grew up adoring Brooks and who loved Cal. And, for me, my relationship with Eddie Murray, beyond a little boy's dream, and Brooks too, and Jim Palmer, do not take for granted how loyal to the Orioles is Jim Palmer today. But Brooks and Frank and Palmer and Weaver and Eddie and Cal and Boog and Rick Dempsey, I mean, there's a new generation now, and that's wonderful. If we can nurture an environment where they become what we had, where Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson are the heroes of our youth, look at how impactful those heroes have been for us in Baltimore. And I think that that's where Baltimore can benefit, and Maryland and the entire region. what we used to call the land of pleasant living, can benefit from the Oriole star shining so brightly. And that's what those of us in the Orioles diaspora are imagining from our points around the globe.
You're hired. Charles Steinberg is here. Tell me what you do for the Woo Sox, and then I'll let you run out the door. Tell me when you're coming down here and having a proper crab cake with me. Bring me a little lobster roll too, or something like that. You know.
Let's honor Larry Lucchino by telling you how warm and fuzzy he was when he said to me at the Boston Red Sox, "I think I'm going to have to make you president." So yes, I'm the president of the Worcester Red Sox. Everybody from Baltimore is welcome, especially when we play Norfolk here. And we're voted.
Break
better.
Those windows behind you. We keep hitting the ball like that in Norfolk. Are you watching that? It's crazy.
Well, and our players live across the street. So it's a real community we built. It's a great city. And we're voted best ballpark in all of AAA. We're the only team of all 120 minor league teams that sold 500,000 tickets each the last 2 years. So we've got a good thing going. We've won all of baseball's national awards for community interaction, Latino interaction. It's been a really, really fun experience with fans who remind me of the Oriole fans of my youth. They're good people. They love their baseball. They know their baseball. And they love walking down the street and seeing tomorrow's major league stars just walking around Worcester. It's happening, and it's very, very cool.
Well, Charles Steinberg, you are welcome here anytime, as always. And I've waited a long time for this, and I swear to you, there's a surreal part of this when I put on that Oriole jacket that Alan Mills gave me 20 years ago.
Nice.
I traded jackets. And, you know, when the thing – things went bad with Free the Birds. I purged a lot of gear and things and, you know, like all of that. And I've kept some things that have some incredible meaning to me, including my whole Louis Aparicio collection. It's a beautiful thing to be able to embrace baseball again, because I never thought about it. I've said to many people, it's like Castro's Cuba or like Putin in Russia. Like, it was like never going to end. I never thought there would be an end. Like, I never talked about the end or envisioned what the next thing could possibly be. And these conversations lift me. So I appreciate your time. I know it's been a hard time for you with Larry. My heart to you and everybody that loves Larry. And we'll get together again soon and honor him properly, okay?
That would be great. All right, great to talk to you. My love to Baltimore, my hometown, and I still love to come and see Camden Yards and see the Orioles.
Well, I tell you what, when Larry died, I have pictures of me and Larry drinking a beer together in San Diego in 1997. And I found the picture of him with my wife's jersey that you made possible. My wife was battling 10 years ago this week.
Wow.
It was literally. So thank you. Heart to you. We'll see you up in Worcester with all of our Norfolk Tides, because we don't have any room for them here. And we're going to have to trade them away. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.